Blog Talk Radio.
And as we continue to broadcast in our radio show this morning at 646-727-3758, we hope you join us this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Okay. Well, we're still broadcasting live here. So many of us, like I said, are familiar with goal setting and the importance of writing them down to review as often as possible. However, we must remind ourselves that we develop goals around these value systems. We prioritize our goals based on what is most valuable to us. And I don't mean to be repetitive with that, but it's so important that we get the gist of goal setting and value systems and the fact that we must always make time for our goals based on what we value as most critical to do or complete. So we can't even complete a goal without it being important to us in our value systems. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. You are live. Hello. Let me do a sound check here, everyone, and make sure that we are online. Okay, just hold on. Hello? Okay. Sorry about that technical difficulty there. We're certainly hoping that whoever we have lost on switchboard this morning will call back in again. And we want everyone to have a chance to speak on our radio show. So please call back in again because I think that I did lose a few people online there. Oh, there's some people coming back in. Thank you so much. Okay, let's get started here. And I just wanted to review for a minute what value systems are, okay, because that's important for us to know, is how they're defined. When we think about what we value in our lives, some people say, well, they value being a religious person, being a spiritual person. And if they truly value that, does that mean that they will continue to do that all the time? That they will continue every day, every moment to hold that as a priority? Well, we know that that doesn't happen, does it? That even though we understand that value means, something valuable means, that it's of great service to us, that it's desirable and worthy. We know that it's beneficial for us. But still, we have those moments where we drop our priorities and something else comes in. A perfect example is when we say, let's go back to spirituality for a minute, when we say we honor and value God in our lives, and we have a perception of what God is in our life. You know, whatever that is for you, I can't express enough that I'm open and respect whatever someone comes to me with as far as their value of what God is in their life. So I respect that, and I respect your religious views also. But when we get into those conversations, we also know that there are going to be those moments when God and religion are not going to be the most important, and we let things like anger, we let things like whatever we call sin in our lives, whatever we call depression, feeling just bad, just having a bad day, sometimes those things pull us away from what we value the most. And when we talk about school and work and family and all the things that go into supporting that, like our money systems, boy, can we talk about money systems and values. Because we find in our society, especially in the Western society, which encompasses the United States, we find that if we turn on the television set, we see what our society values most. And I don't even have to say it. All of us know what that is. It comes down to money. Money, 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 money. We see it all the time. We talk about it all the time. It's not just having money. It's the things that money can buy. So now I understand that, and I'm sure you do too, listeners out there, that money is important, but is that truly your value system? So your value system may include money, but that doesn't mean that that's the value that you hold in your life, and that's how you set your goals. You don't have to do it that way. You can have spiritual values that motivate you to set goals, and one of those goals could be to make enough money to support yourself and your family, to go to school, to learn, to be able to feed yourself and clothe yourself. But I guess one of the things that we want to be real careful about is that when we're talking about what we value in this life, is that we don't want to focus on just one thing, that it's a number of things that we hold as important or desirable or worthy. And there are things that are going to be more important than others. We have a caller online right now, and we thank her so much for calling back in. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Can you hear me?
Good morning,
this is
Maria.
Hi. Good morning, Maria. Good morning.
Morning.
It's always
How
good
are
to
you
hear
doing?
From you. Good.
I think we have a little problem getting in.
Yeah, I noticed
into
that. And thank you. Yeah, thank you for calling back in again. It was some technical difficulties there, but you hung in there. And you call back in, and there's a few other people. I do have the chat line up for those of you who want to chat and write in a message. So don't feel that you have to go online or on the telephone and speak. You can always write in your questions to Professor Applewhite here, and we will respond to you. And I want to know what you value, and you can write me in a story if you want. So, Maria, what we were talking about just now is that we have a value system. Many of us have a spiritual value system. And in that spiritual value system, what we try to do is to set our goals around what we value. And if we value our spirituality, that the first thing we're going to set a goal for is not necessarily money, but a closer relationship with God. But that doesn't mean that money is not important to us. It's just that we have to set our priorities straight about what's important. And that's when we come down to school, to work, to all of those, and family. All of those things take a place in our life, and we set certain values for them. But what I was wondering is if you notice that people will have a certain value about, like, their spirituality, and then sometimes they lose it. They get off track.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, yes. Sometimes we have to really, because the Bible says that we have to seek first the kingdom of God,
mm-hmm.
and all His righteousness, and all the things of the island. So that means that God has to become number one, and then we can work around God's number one, and then the rest comes with, you know, with the help of God. So that means that
okay.
God first, and then everything else will become second, because God is the one that gives help us and everything that we need to do in life.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And when you said that some people lose out with God, it's because they we can live richest life and pleasures become more important than God. That's why we need God.
Right. And so when we, for whatever, whoever and whatever we call God in our lives, and you mentioned the Bible, and there are people who may not believe in the Bible, but they believe in the Quran, or they believe in the Buddhist philosophies. But the bottom line is that we have to make a decision about what we value in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And if we value a relationship with God, and we believe that God is love, then that begins to help us to form our goals. And when we set goals in this life, we set it with those value systems. And that's what the show is about today, is that when you're talking about valuing school and valuing work and valuing family, that all of those things go into setting goals. But what is your priority? What is the first thing that comes up to you when asked about your values? And we have another caller online. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning. How are you? I'm having
good
a
morning.
Problem. I'm trying to put this on
EC?
Speakerphone.
Hello,
yes,
EC. Wow, this
Hello,
is my father.
How are
you? I appreciate you calling in this morning.
Morning.
What a great show for you to.
It's a pleasure listening to you, and the subjects that you bring up are very rewarding for.
Well, thank you.
For this life.
I appreciate you saying that.
Well, they are.
Well, what do you value? I mean, what do you see I don't necessarily know what do you value, but do you see that you can't set a goal in this life? You can't set a goal and say, I'm going to go after something without knowing what you value. Do you believe that?
Well, I can't say I value that. I think that goal setting is give you a lot of compassion,
mm-hmm.
and love, and knowing that someday those thoughts, see, nothing is really lost when you think of something. creative in your mind. It goes out in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And someday, somewhere, it will be affected. So
mm-hmm.
let's think about what we are saying when we say it.
Okay, whether so think about negative, what we're valuing. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
Whether it's negative or positive.
Oh, right, right. Very good point. Because we can have negative values and we can have positive values.
Well, just like two wires. Just like two wires to make a light burn. You put two wires down and one is no good without the other.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put them together, then there is a light. So that's what it's
okay.
all about.
Maybe
we are one of
those
wires.
All right.
Maybe we are one of those wires. And there are other wires someplace else.
Let me see if we can summarize that for our listeners out there.
Okay.
I believe what you're trying to say, correct me if I'm wrong here, is that we build a value system. And the value system has negative aspects and it has positive aspects to it. And what you're saying is that we need both in order to appreciate. We need the negative.
Make
value
a manifestation.
System.
You do need both. One is no good without the
right.
other.
Right.
And
okay.
one is just dead if they don't have the other one to make a manifestation.
Okay, so just like the plug in the wall, right?
Yes.
You need a negative and a positive energy to go
absolutely,
out the wall.
Absolutely, absolutely. We must think of that.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I'm following you.
Well, that's good.
You got some great things to say always. Great wisdom to share.
Thank you very much.
We've got to make time in our lives for what we value, but we also have to make time for making sure we sit down and really think about what do I really value in this life and why do I value it? Why do I value school? Okay, so let's just take school separate for a moment. When we think about going to school, especially those of us that are in our late 30s and 40s on up, and we think about, you know, going back to school. This is a hard decision to make, especially when we have White Apple Institute has clients that are in their 50s and they're going back to school, sometimes to get an AA or to finish a bachelor's
okay.
degree.
Okay. Well, there you're thrown out your positive wire.
The positive, okay, there's,
Yes. So when they reach that point that they can come together with the realization of what they're doing and why they're doing it, then there will be a great manifestation.
Wow.
Okay?
So in other words, you have to know. You have to sit. You have to really get in touch with who you are and your value systems to really understand why you're even choosing the goal.
Well, my feeling is this. I'm not trying to have anyone else's temperature. When you make those decisions, it's an individual thing. So it's not for the masses of the human race.
Okay.
It's not the masses. It's for one individual, and that's you. So when you know that you are thinking that way, continue on thinking because there is going to be a great revelation for you. And thank you very much.
So that's important to understand, and we thank our caller for sharing that with us because it is an individual issue. In other words, for our listeners out there, I guess it's important for me to emphasize, for all of us to emphasize in our lives, that our value systems are individuals. Our
Absolutely.
Individual value systems, and they can't be influenced. They are influenced by other people. Of course they are, our parents, our teachers, and people that are friends in our life. So they do influence our value systems, but we as individuals make a decision in our lives about what we value. And when we don't make those decisions, we land up going absolutely out of our minds trying to figure out, what does somebody want me to value? You know, what do they want? What do they want me to do? What do they want me to think? Where do they want me to go? And that never works. It has to be that we make an individual decision to not only say, this is my value.
I'm not going to say turn off individuals that make this kind of statement. Reach out with love for each and everyone, because some of us not realizing that these kind of thoughts and things and action are an individual thing here for you. And one day, hoping and hopefully that nothing is lost, that the masses will get, and the other individuals start to get into those kind of thoughts. You make a demonstration of yourself, and you keep on doing what you're doing. This is great.
I think what I hear you saying is that we are, as we've talked about before on this show and in our conversations, is that we are all children of God. And
absolutely.
As Maria can attest to, that all of us being children of God, we need to shine our lights. And so we need to hold on to our own individual value systems.
Absolutely.
And so when we hold on to our individual values, other people will see that, and they will be influenced. And like you said, the masses of people will begin to look at that individual and say, wow, how do they stay so focused on their goals?
Because
that
is what we intended to do.
Mm-hmm.
We intended to know that this is an individual thing. We intended to know that we are not alone. That somewhere, someplace, this kind of thoughts and these kind of acts will make a manifestation for the whole of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you very
much.
That's
right. That's a very good point. And when we're valuing something, say let's just go to work for a minute. You know, we talked about school and the value systems that we hold for saying, I want to go to school and I want to complete college. I want to go back to where I was. And this is really, really important for people who are unfortunately coming out of the prison system, or a prison system in their own mind. It doesn't have to be a physical prison system, but that they've been imprisoned in their life and not thinking about their values and their belief systems. And so they've been kind of like in a very, very isolated place in their life. And now they're beginning to see that, you know, I do have values about working, and I don't like the job that I'm in now. This is not what I hold as important in my life, valuable. So I want to change this work situation because I value myself differently.
If you want it bad enough for yourself, it will change, but it may take time. It may not change when you want it to change, but it will make a change. And I want to thank you very much. I'm very careful on the phone. I have new laws outside, and I can't put this on speakerphone.
You're doing just fine.
So I want to thank you all, and maybe I can come back in and get back on the phone again right now.
Yes.
And take care of this, okay? Thank you very much. Thank all of
thank
you.
Thank you. We have another caller online coming in from a 314 area code. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Hello, Professor. How are you?
Hi, very good. And who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is Bianchi. What's your profession then?
My profession is in educational psychology. I'm a certified rehabilitation counselor. And so I work with students in the college setting, helping them to, at least today we're talking about valuing school and work. And one of the things I don't I guess I can pride myself in, and praise God for that, is that I do not, I like students to think of themselves as not being disabled or disadvantaged. And I want them to move from those labels, those categories, and begin to start thinking of themselves as what their abilities are and what their advantages are. So I don't focus a lot, even though I work with students with disabilities, mental and physical, I stay away from focusing so much on that, Keontae, and coming into more of a realization of you being a whole person. And just because there are things that we cannot do for whatever reason. And actually, there, you probably, are you a teacher yourself?
No, I work with a lot of, you know, I work with a lot of all-black schools.
Uh-huh, okay.
And public schools
right.
or either private schools, especially those that use uh-huh. African-centered curriculums. And African-centered schools.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you can probably attest to the fact that when you speak to students with, from an Afro-centered perspective, that many times you'll find that they are going to they cop that disadvantaged label. You know, I can't do it because there's this boogie white man out there that's stopping me from going forward. And I try to move them away from that in saying, how about we look at your potential and what you can do?
Well, we usually teach our children. Well, our children, you know, in the successful schools. Now, of course, public school is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But we we don't compare our children with white children. We compare
uh-huh.
our children academically with West Africans because they have the highest educational attainment. And we talk about economics, we compare against Asians because they have the highest household income.
Yeah,
and,
really?
We center that child in the center of their world, and they look at the rest of the world through their own eyes.
Uh-huh. We certainly wish that we could encourage all students to do that. What's the secret? I mean, I'm sure you get students in that at the beginning of a semester that feel that they are, in one way, they see themselves as messed up.
Well, that's
and,
because community. That's the community that they, the society that they come from that causes
mm-hmm.
Those type of deficiencies. We start with, you know, we have schools that start off in with preschool, 2-year-olds that can name all the parts of the body in Spanish, Kishwahili, and of course English. They can name all the capitals of the states and you know, so
at
on.
At what
so
age?
On. 2.
Oh, my goodness. What state are you in, sir?
That's the Marcus Garvey School out in South Central L.A.
So oh,
that,
wonderful.
That
wonderful,
on.
Yes. That's where I grew up, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, you might
I grew up in Los
with,
Angeles.
Ah.
It's on Slauson mm-hmm. Avenue.
Okay, I know. I lived on Slauson and Crenshaw.
Yeah,
so I know the area.
You're right there by the school.
wow. Isn't that something? Small world, isn't it?
Right.
Small world.
When the last time you've been there?
We appreciate. I go back and forth a lot because my family's still there. And I do some speeches there. I did something for the Paramount School District not too long ago. And basically, I love Los Angeles. I love the... I love California, I should say. I love the beach. Mm-hmm. But I live in Arizona mm-hmm. now. Okay? The hot place. Right? And our school system here, we have a number of charter schools. We are overwhelmed with charter schools because there are many, of course, here that feel that the public schools aren't living up to their expectations. And especially among certain ethnic groups, we find that that's there. And I want to bring this back in, if you don't mind. Am I saying your name right, Keontae?
Pianchi.
Keontae. Correct me if I'm not saying it right. We have another caller online, and I have a question for you about how you teach values, okay? So hold on a minute. Let me take this caller in. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Professor Applewhite.
It's a 491.
Consuelo Astete.
Hello, this is another professor on the line. We have Chianti, and it sounds like he's, I believe that you're an administrator, aren't you, Chianti?
No, I belong to an organization, National Black United Front.
Uh-huh.
And we've been in many different cities. Our chapters have been took on the issue of African-centered education, African-centered curriculum in schools, going back, you know, as far back as the 70s.
Uh-huh. Say that organization again, National Black what?
National Black United Front, MBUF,
okay.
Is the acronym. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wonderful. Now, are you, when we talk about value systems, that's what I was asking you, can you really even teach someone values? I mean, it seems like such an intrinsic thing that we're talking about, it's such an inside job. But there's an environment that's out there, too, that can impact or influence values about school and about work.
Values come out of your culture. Culture is very important. With different ethnic groups. I was working with a young Nigerian lady. She's an Igbo from Nigeria. And we was helping her to get established and to be able to negotiate her way through the infrastructure here going to school. And we was at a location, and she met a couple other, two other Nigerians, a couple. They was much older than her. And they talked back and forth. And the last thing that the adults told the young lady, they said, make your people proud. And that's what we teach in, you know, our school. We tell the children that they are to make their people proud. They first, you know, we look at our history that goes back you know, thousands of years, pre-dynastic time, look at the great things that, you know, African people was doing on the continent of Africa and also all throughout the world. And we let them know that the only ones that's going to turn their situation around is themselves.
That's
we ourselves,
right, exactly.
Not somebody else. So that's where the values come in.
Yes.
The values
is
the attitude. You don't want to, shame your people. You see the same thing coming out of the Chinese community, too. I tell you what. How many times have you heard in Chinese industry where you have a manager or a supervisor that does something that causes problems? It can get very serious to the point where they will even commit suicide.
Because of their values. Their value systems are so high. Their ethics, the way they believe, are so high that they don't want anyone to see that they failed.
That's correct.
Right. And one, I'd like to say this, and I'll put this out to all of our callers this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Thank you for joining us this morning. Hello.
Yeah, this is Tom Baker. How are you doing?
Hello, Tommy, calling in from Arizona, I see.
Yeah,
and I hope that you
I
can join this conversation.
I just turned into the show.
Okay. Well, we've got a... Go ahead.
I heard the man talk. What's the subject for the day?
We value and how we build value systems, and we can't set goals without having a value system. So we're talking about when we set goals for school and work and family and all of those things that are important to us in our life, how do we prioritize those around what we set as goals? Our value systems are extremely critical. And so I was just asking our caller this morning, Kanta, he's calling in from Los Angeles area, and he's associated with the National Black United Fund. And he was telling us that the environment plays a good, big part, but also people valuing their ethnicity, their culture, plays another big part in how they value those things in life. Did I say that right, Kathy?
Yeah, you said it pretty well.
Okay. Now, my question is, when we think about value systems, and I'd like all of you to think about that, any listeners, let me check the chat, because I think we have a chat person on. Okay, I'll get to your chat in just a moment, so please bear with me. What I wanted to ask and put out there right now is this. When we talk about values, and even from an ethnic standpoint and being proud of where we come from, whatever race of people we come from, we know that there's great disparity in the African ancestry, and our African ancestry. We know that there's disparity there, but there's disparity in a lot of races now, especially with economically, okay? But when we talk about values overall as humanity, okay, let's take a big step out of the box, okay, and say, do we value education and do we value the work ethics from a humanitarian standpoint that everyone deserves an opportunity to set goals that are humanitarian based and based on helping everyone in our society, no matter what color of their skin? Let's get some feedback on that.
Okay, well, the feedback I'd like to give is that sometimes people on Social Security, there's no economic or even negative economic reasons for them to work because, frankly, they get paid more to work part-time than they could make working part-time, working full-time, and also they lose their medical benefits. But I found that volunteer work, I used to work part-time and stuff, and I found that volunteer time is very, very important. And I'm very proud of the fact that I have like 11 years working with the mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important as part of our value system, is that we include people that, for whatever reason, may not be included in another group. Or if you're in one of those situations where you're retired and you can't make that much money, or you're disabled, I don't know if you knew this, but 70% of disabled don't work.
Right, right, yes. Yes, and that is sad. And one of the things that probably, as far as value systems go, is that when we're talking about building our school systems up, and I think that the gentleman from Los Angeles can definitely validate this within his school system, is that we need to build a system also that says that you are accepted here. If you have even a learning disability, we want you to value who you are. And that means that you can still set goals. You can still reach goals. There's nothing that you cannot do. It's just that we want to make sure that you set realistic goals around what your capabilities are. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand that. Maybe I went off on a tangent. But
no, that's okay. No.
But I think that puts a lot of people in trouble, you know, that economic double bind.
Yes, it is a double bind. But what I'd like to do is move back into, because we're looking at not only students here that are adult learners, we're also looking at students who are in a school system just like Keontae was talking about earlier, a two-year-old that has a tremendous education at 2 years old. What kind of values have already been instilled in that individual? We come in with a certain set of values. We build on that value system, and as we build on that value system, we begin to set goals. And hopefully there's someone in our lives that help us to set realistic goals.
Well, you know, that should be society. Society should have that. Just because someone has a disability, we all have disabilities. Some are more pronounced than others. And
thank you.
We must be very cognizant and conscious of other people's disability and look at them as having something to offer to life. We have just recently in this country started getting around to recognizing other people's disability due to the fact now when buildings are built, when sidewalks are built, when infrastructure is built, there are provisions for those who are handicapped to be able to maneuver their way around so that they can participate in the daily activities of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how about this, as even deeper than that, Keontae, is that when you move into, that's the visible disability. Now move into, especially within the African-American community, if we move into mental health and learning disabilities, many of the students that come to us at White Apple Institute are students who are maybe 30-something years old and have been told that because they have a math, they're not very good at math or reading or English or whatever, that they cannot, their value system means nothing. They can't set goals. They can't go anywhere. So they come from that time and space. So here we are working with changing the value system around so that they begin to set goals at where they can actually go to college. You can't even imagine how many people say to me, "You mean I can go to college, but I don't know math, but they told me that I didn't read well enough." And they don't even know that we have classes and support systems to help them get through college.
Yeah. Well, that's very good that you have got that. And it's another thing that the way traditional education is set up here in the United States, it tries to make a single person be tremendous at everything, and that's not
mm-hmm.
possible.
No,
each individual,
not.
Each individual has certain fine points that he or she can contribute, he or she can utilize. No one is all-knowing of everything. No one can be, just because you don't know how to do algebra and calculus, that don't mean that you cannot carve out of this world something that is good for you or be able to contribute to make something that's already there much better.
You know, we certainly appreciate you saying that because earlier in the show, Maria was talking about value systems from a spiritual standpoint, and I'm sure she will agree with the fact that when we come back to what's really important in this life, I'm teaching our children that when you build your value system, build it not only with your ethnicity in mind, and I totally agree with you and support your National Black United organization, as I support so many organizations that are trying to build that ethnic awareness in children, because it's important to get in touch with our ancestry. Because
mm-hmm.
we lose a lot of that, and that builds our value system. That makes us look in
respect,
the mirror.
You have to respect others, too. You know, if this was something that was more of the norm than the exception, then maybe the nations in the world wouldn't be going around causing the mayhem and wars and destruction that we
mm-hmm.
so witness. And it affects us because those resources that are supposed to be used in order to develop the inefficiencies that man and woman are possesses, you know, whether however they come about, if those resources should be used to better the lives of people, not to destroy
right.
their lives.
Can you imagine if we took that money that we're putting into, and I know I don't want this to get into a real big political discussion, but you know, you're making a very good point. I can't ignore expounding a little bit on that to say that if we took some of that money that we are using for wars and whatever and put that back into our school systems, we wouldn't have the need for so many charter schools, okay?
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's the value. We see the resources that we're using to make wars and lives expendable as they are in that particular fashion, we are not valuing those resources, whereas we can use those resources in order to create, to foster minds that can create technologies and other things, medicines that can help people who don't
mm-hmm.
have, you know, the availability. It would be better to go to someone in another country with your hand held out with something that you can help them with rather than try to take something from them that they, you know, cherish so much. I got to get out of here. I really appreciate your program.
Okay.
That school is on Slauson and 6th Street, by the way.
Uh-huh. Slauson and 6th. And it's called the Marcus Garvey School.
Marcus Garvey
School.
And
we certainly appreciate that. If you get a chance to listen to the show again later on, you can always come back in and listen to the archive shows, because we're going to now listen to Professor Astete expound a little bit on what we talked about this morning. She's taught at the University of Arizona, and we're going to see what she has to say about what you said today. We appreciate you joining us, Keontae.
Sure, thank you.
Thanks so much. Please come back on again. Professor Astete, are you there?
Yes, Professor Applewhite. What a wonderful caller you had. And it's just amazing how he has been able to pinpoint and expand on many of the things that we had touched before.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding the value system,
yes,
we were talking the previous session last Saturday about how to feed the brain physically.
Yes, that's a value.
Psychologically, but also how to feed the brain psychologically, I guess we could say, in such a way that we can instill positive
values.
A positive system that would be able to take us through our lives in a very productive and successful way. And I believe
Let me do this in this last few minutes that we have, because we have, and this will answer the person who just wrote in on the chat also. So let me share with you, because you're asking for some techniques on how do we build value systems with our children. And thank you, Consuelo, Sete, for bringing out that we need to look at the mental food that we feed ourselves also. So let me pull both of those thoughts together and give you a few techniques in closing today, because I think that this will help. And I know a lot of people like to write down what we talk about on the show, and we appreciate that. So let me get your pencils out and your pads of paper, because I'm going to very, very briefly, in the few minutes that we have left, I'm going to talk about the work of one of a great psychologist. We have about 7 minutes left on the show, and his name is Albert Ellis. And I'm going to summarize his technique, but I'm also going to put in a few things that we do through White Apple Institute to help people to look at their value systems and to set the appropriate goals. And one of the ways that we do this is by looking at what we feed ourselves, not what we necessarily feed ourselves physically, but what we feed ourselves spiritually and mentally. Mental food, let me explain just for a moment so our listeners are aware of what we're talking about, so they don't think we're going in another totally different direction here. The mental food is what we take in from our environment. And so when we are talking about value systems, and as the gentleman who came on the line earlier was talking about ethnicity and children of African descent and how he builds value systems within those children, within the schools, we are also talking about what we feed into their minds. The mental food encompasses the television, encompasses what we read, encompasses the video games that are played. But guess what's more important about the mental food that we take in? It comes from the people we associate with, too. They help us to build our value systems. They help us in one way or another, as my father who came on earlier was saying, to build negative and positive value systems. And we need both in order to make decisions. So negative value systems have to be there in order for us to see the positive aspect of it. So let's talk about the positive aspect of having good values. And I say good values, good based on what you believe are good. positive and effective goal setting based on what you believe is good goal setting. Albert Ellis brings out to us that many times we come into this world with a belief system that's very irrational, very irrational. In other words, the person interprets their world as very frustrating and just in a bad way. They're always saying, I'm messed up, I'm no good, I'm of no value to anyone, okay? And so how do you even begin to change that? One of the ways, of course, is to look at, observe them and see what kind of mental food they're taking in. But how about doing that with ourselves first? If we hold some of those irrational beliefs in our system, in our mind about ourselves, and we can't seem to get to what do we value and how do we prioritize what we value? Yeah, I want to go to school. I want to go to work. You know, I want to take care of my family. You know, I want to have my friends around me. Are all those things feeding into the value system that you want to have? Are all those things helping you to set the goals that you want to set? Or are your irrational beliefs overwhelming you so badly that when you look in the mirror, the only thing you hear in your heart and in your mind is how bad things are in your life? Because if that's all you're hearing, then the emotional consequence is going to kick in. And you're going to start with negative feelings, and they're going to be reinforced by those irrational beliefs that you have. And before you know it, you're going to start disputing with yourself, having an actual argument with yourself. And something always begins it, begins the process. And it could be as simple as you watching a television show, and the television show shows somebody going to school, and that activates something in your mind where you say, yeah, but I want to do that. I want to go back to school. I've always said I wanted to go back to school. I've always said I want to get my butt up off this couch and go get a job, a good job that I really want. And then all of a sudden, the irrational beliefs kick in, and you start saying, no, I can't do it. Now, I'm not valuable enough to do it. You might not say it in those ways, but you can relate to what I'm saying. Many of us out there listening to the show this morning, we have our own way of I guess, tearing ourselves down and not processing the positive, good mental food for us. And then we get all emotional about it and we get angry. We get angry at ourselves more than anything. Can you relate to that, Consuelo?
Yes.
Yes. You get angry with yourself because the only thing you have to do with using this technique, let me close with this because we only have a few seconds left, is to go back and change your original belief systems and try to address what triggered it, okay? So look at the triggers in your life, look at your belief system, and try to then address the emotional consequences. We call it the ABC formula. What starts the action? What develops your belief? And what are the consequences? And so we all want positive actions, positive beliefs, and positive consequences in our life. And that's the beginning of building a good value system. So we thank you for bringing that out about the mental food this morning. We'll continue more on that next week, next Saturday, and we look forward to everyone calling back in again. And we thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Speaking to Teacher to Student show. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Much love and peace from Professor Applewhite and the staff of White Apple Institute. Thank you, Nazim Rashid. Thank you, Nazim, for this music. And thank you, E.C. Applewhite, my father, for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much.